It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
All right, it's 8 minutes now after two. Good afternoon once again. Welcome back. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is the third and the final hour of the program. We're getting into our daily focus. Today we're talking about prophecy in the modern church. And we do have Pastor Choriuk. Oh, let's try that again. I think I practiced it, but it doesn't seem like my practice worked well. It's Pastor Choriopiscopos. Is that how you pronounce it, Pastor? Choriopiscopos Mbofu?
Pastor, but the real one is Pastor Ovias Mpofu.
Oh, so Choriopiscopos is what?
Choriopiscopos simply means that, it simply means rural pastor. That's my WhatsApp username.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yay, I was struck. I was practicing the whole 2 hours. All right, Pastor Mpofu, how are you today?
Fine, how are you,
sir? I'm well, thank you very much, Pastor. So we're talking about prophecy in the modern church, and in a world buzzing with information, are we still tuning in to Voice of Prophecy, really? Has the modern church lost its appetite for prophetic stuff? Or are we just not paying attention? Well, let's explore how prophecy fits into today's spiritual landscape, and that's why we do have Pastor Mpofu giving us some perspective. Mpofu, how does the modern church view prophecy compared to earlier times?
Oh, thank you. Maybe let me begin by giving a verse that is our preamble. That is Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It says, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, okay, the prophets. So in other words, when God wants to communicate with human beings, he calls a prophet to stand in between him and the people,
okay,
who are supposed to receive the message. Why do we need a prophet? We remember that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see that God was communicating with humanity face to face before the entrance of sin. Mm. But now when sin entered, human beings could not speak to God face to face. And therefore, the Bible says the Lord's hand is not shortened that he may not help. His ear is not dumb that he may not hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. So sin separates men from God. But out of his love, God wants to search for humanity. He wants to reconcile humanity back to him. And therefore, to do that, since he could no longer communicate face to face, then he calls prophets to stand in between him and the people. So in other words, he reveals his message to the prophet. Okay. And then the prophet sends the message to the people. So right. That's why we need prophets. That's why we need prophecy. Because God loves us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to reconcile us back to himself.
Okay.
And then now we go to our specific question. How did maybe the early church or maybe the old Christians view prophets, and in comparison to how we view it today?
Right.
Now, according to the Bible, I'll maybe answer this question this way. I'll look at the Hebrew definition of a prophet, or the Hebrew view of a prophet, and then maybe what I will call the Latin view of a prophet, which is more or less the modern view, okay, of a prophet.
Okay.
Now, the Hebrew definition, we can get a glimpse of it in Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we find the Lord speaking to Moses.
Yeah.
He says to Moses, "See, Moses, I have made you like God to Pharaoh,
right,
and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet.
Right.
So I will tell you my words, and then you shall tell my words to Aaron, who is your prophet.
Yeah.
And then Aaron is the one who shall go to Pharaoh on your behalf. And then Aaron will speak the words that you speak to Pharaoh." So in other words, there are three entities. There is Moses, who is acting on behalf of God, who's standing in the place of God.
Right.
So in other words, Moses is the one who has the message. And then there is a medium here, who is Aaron. So Aaron receives the message from Moses, who is standing on behalf of God.
Mm.
And then the person standing for the people is Pharaoh. He is the one who is the recipient of the message.
Okay.
So Aaron stands in between Moses and Pharaoh. So Aaron takes the words from Moses to Pharaoh, who is the intended audience. So in other words, according to the Hebrew thought, a prophet is a mouthpiece of God. He is the one who takes the words of God and sends the words to the people. He is a spokesperson. He's a spokesperson. In maybe technical terms, we would say a prophet is a foreteller. He is the one who speaks God's words before the people. That is foretelling. And then, in comparison to the modern definition, in Latin, the English word prophet comes from the Greek words and the Latin words. There are two words. Prophet is formed out of two words. There is the word pro, which means before, and the word femi, which means to speak. So in other words, the Latin definition of a prophet or the modern definition of a prophet would say a prophet is the one who speaks things before they happen. The technical term would be a prophet is a foreteller of future events. He's the one who speaks about events before they happen. So in summary, I would say the Hebrew definition of a prophet is a foreteller. A prophet is the one who simply receives a message from God. Mm. He may foretell events, but prophecy is not about foretelling only. Prophecy is about speaking God's will to the people. Okay. So it may include foretelling, but it is not limited to foretelling.
Right.
But now, the modern definition seems to be saying prophecy is about foretelling future events. So today, when people are saying a person is a prophet, they are talking about predictive prophecy, someone who speaks things before they happen. And yet, a prophecy is wide. It's wider than foretelling. It may not be talking about future events, but talking about God's will for a people at a particular time. So prophecy is about foretelling, speaking God's word before the people. It may include foretelling, but is not limited to foretelling. So that's the comparison that we can make between the two worlds, or the modern world and the ancient world.
Let's focus on us, the modern world, Mfundisi. Are we too distracted to hear prophetic messages in today's world?
Wonderful, wonderful question. I would say the modern world appears to be eager to hear prophecy that it talks about what we call their existential needs. They want prophecy that talks about who bewitches you, or how to make money, or how your business is. So those are the prophecies that they want. But you know, prophecies that say you need to repent and leave your sins, it appears there is no appetite for such prophecy. Prophecy that prepares humanity for the kingdom of God. If you read Matthew chapter 23, verse 34 and 37, we are told that this is not a new phenomenon, because even in Israel, they did not want prophets that pointed out their sins and called them to repentance. In fact, according to the words of Jesus in Matthew 23, 34 and 37, they even killed the prophets. Mm. So there was no appetite. They did not want to hear a message that would detach them from their sins. Today, people are busy. They want something that speaks to their existential needs. They don't want something that says, my brother, according to God's word, you need to live that, you need to live that,
right.
You need to live this way.
Right.
So I think the basic reason for prophets is to prepare people for the kingdom of God, is to assist humanity to be reconciled to God. That is the reason why God calls a prophet. And yet in the modern world, people appear not to have appetite for that. They are busy. They want something that will help them to get rich, to get whatever they want. But something that challenges them to live a holy life, it appears they don't have time for that. And yet God is calling us to repentance. That's why he calls prophets.
So when you ask these people who appear to be nonchalant about prophecy, Mfundisi, and about prophets, they claim, no, prophets are false, are fake these days, which brings to bear the question, how do we differentiate between true and false prophets?
Oh, thank you. In this subject, I think that's one of the most critical questions, because you know there is a debate and a rise of many prophets in the modern world. Mm. If you go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 4, 5, and then Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus talks about many false prophets shall arise in the last days. Mm. So maybe the coming up of false prophets may also imply that they could be true prophets as well. But now the question is, how do I distinguish right. between the true right. and the false? So I'll give about, there are many, but I'll give four basic tests, four Bible tests of a prophet. How do we test? The first test is Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, which says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it means there is no light in them. Mm. So how do we test that this prophet is a true prophet? We need to look at whether the teachings of the prophet are in harmony with what the Bible says. Because when the Bible says to the law, it is referring to the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. They are the ones that are referred to as the law. And then when it says to the testimony, it refers to all the books of the Bible written by the prophet. And these books are a testimony about how the prophets understand God, or about how God revealed himself to the prophet. So when the Bible says to the law and to the testimony, it says a prophet should speak things that are in harmony with the Bible. Right. Because we believe that a modern prophet, a person who claims to be a modern prophet, he is called by the same Holy Spirit who called Moses, who called Isaiah, who called Jeremiah. So the Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself. So if a prophet claims to be called by the Spirit, he cannot contradict what is already revealed in the Bible. In other words, he cannot have a teaching that is contrary to the Bible. For example, when the Bible says you should keep the commandment, and then the prophet says you should not keep the commandment, then it means that there's a problem. It means the prophet is disqualified, because we test the prophet using the Bible. Are the teachings of the prophet in harmony with the Bible? Is the life of this prophet in harmony with the Bible? If the teachings contradict the Bible, if the life of the prophet contradict the Bible, then it means that there is no light in the prophet. So the prophet is not a true prophet. So that's what the Bible says. I'll also give an example. You'll see that some prophets will prophesy about football, for example. Football.
Yes.
So, but now the question is, can God call a prophet to prophesy about football? We see that in the Bible, prophets did not talk about trivial matters. They talked about matters of life and death, matters of salvation. So we identify a prophet by checking whether they are in harmony with the Bible or not. That's test number one. And then test number two is 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I like verse 1 because it says, beloved, do not believe every prophet. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, the spirits, to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have arisen. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So what we learn from 1 John 4, verse 1 to 3 is that the first thing is, we cannot just run and believe a person who says they are a prophet, because there are many false prophets. But we need to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. So, and then the test according to 1 John is, a prophet needs to believe in what we call the incarnation. They should believe that Jesus is fully God, but because he wanted to save humanity, he took the nature of human beings in order to come and live on planet Earth to die on the cross. So it's the incarnation. If a prophet denies the divinity of Jesus Christ, if they deny the humanity of Jesus Christ, then it means that they are not a true prophet. So that's test number two. And then test number three is Jeremiah 28. Verse 9, it says, when a prophet prophesies of peace, if his word comes to pass, then we shall know that the prophet comes from the Lord. So test number two, number three, I mean, is fulfilled predictions. So if a prophet foretells something, that thing should be fulfilled, unless maybe it is a conditional prophecy. But if it is not a conditional prophecy and it's not fulfilled, then it means that the prophet is a false prophet. So if they say something and then they say, maybe in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, this and that will happen. And if that thing does not happen, it means that the prophet is a false prophet. And then the fourth test in the basic ones is Matthew 7, verse 20, by their fruits we shall know them. Mm. So the lifestyle of a prophet should be in harmony with what the Bible says. So, for example, if the Bible says marry one wife, and then a prophet marries two, three, four, five wives, then we see that the fruits of the prophet are not in harmony with what the Bible says. So then the prophet is not a true prophet. If the prophet, for example, some prophets will tell people that your relative is the one who is bewitching you. And then that when that person leaves the prophet, he goes to fight with their relatives. There is war in the family. So in other words, that prophet is not building, but he is destroying. So the fruits of the prophet are not building, but they are destroying. So therefore, that prophet does not qualify. And one important thing is that the prophet should pass all these tests. If he fails one of them, then they are not a true prophet. They should pass all of them.
Yeah.
So I think that is critical.
I was going to ask, can we recognize modern day prophets and what should we look for? You've just answered that in those four signs. My final question then, Mponisi, is what role does prophecy play in guiding the church today?
Thank you. From maybe we take it from the Bible, we see that a prophet strengthened and guided rulers, for example. Mm. They would strengthen during times of difficulty. They would strengthen the church during times of difficulty. They would give hope to the church. And then prophets also, they are media. They stand between God and the people. You would see Moses, for example, when God said, I want to destroy these people and begin a new nation with you, Moses. And then Moses went to God to plead on behalf of the people. And he said, if you want to destroy these people, then remove my name from your book. And then the Lord forgave the people. So prophet also have a role of praying for the people, interceding for the people. That's also another important role. And then prophet also give warnings about God's judgments. If you look at prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they would warn the Israelites to say, if you continue rebelling, then the Babylonians or the Chaldeans are going to come and overcome you and take you as captive. So prophets would warn of God's judgments. And then prophets also prepare the people for the coming of Christ. For example, you would see a prophet like John the Baptist. He prepared the people for the first coming of Christ. And so prophets also have a role of preparing people for the second coming of Christ. So in brief, prophets, they guide the church, they guide the leaders of the church, they strengthen the church, they warn the church of God's judgment, they prepare the church for the coming of Christ.
Right, got it. All right, that's the beginning of a five-day week, you and I talking about this subject for our daily focus. Thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. We're still looking forward to finding out more about prophecy in today's church. Have a wonderful day, Mponisi. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.